My dear friends in Christ, I pray that you all had a blessed Easter and you have a grace-filled Easter season. Please be assured of our prayer and remembrance for you at the altar, and we humbly beg your continued prayers for us. I would like to thank you for your continued support and generosity. May God bless you always. Now, there are many aspects rightly for consideration when meditating on the Easter story. The guards at the tomb, the holy women who went out to anoint the body, our Blessed Mother, the empty tomb, the shroud found in the empty tomb, the appearances of Jesus to the disciples at Emmaus, to the women at the tomb, and to his apostles. The aspect I wish to reflect on in this short sermon is the apostles' faith and peace. As for the apostles, fear had gripped them. When they saw their master stolen in the night, swift as death steals a loved one, fear had paralyzed them. When they saw and or heard of their Lord's mistreatment, the false accusations heaped upon him, the abuse, the assaults, the torture he underwent, and finally, his death. Melancholy, discouragement, and despair haunted them. After all, one denied him, another hung himself after he had betrayed him, and had witnessed his master's apparent downfall. They all lost faith the night he was betrayed, as he had foretold at the Last Supper. In Matthew 26:31, we read, "All of you shall be scandalized in me this night." They fell to death within themselves when they heard of their Lord's death. On Easter morn, the holy women had gone to anoint the body of Jesus properly, as they were unable to do so before because of the Sabbath. They found the tomb empty. They saw the angels at the tomb, and they saw the Lord, who gave them a message for the apostles. The enemies of Christ seemed to bear more faith in the resurrection of Jesus than his own disciples, as they tried to hide it. We read in Matthew 28:11, "Now while they were going, behold, some of the guard came into the city and reported to the chief priests all that had happened. And when they had assembled with the elders and had consulted together, they gave much money to the soldiers, telling them, 'Say his disciples came by night and stole him while we were sleeping. And if the procurator hears of this, we will persuade him to keep you out of it.' And they took the money and did as they were instructed. And this story has been spread abroad." We find in the Gospel of St. Mark, chapter 16, verse 11, that when Mary Magdalene told them of her vision of the resurrected Lord, quote, "they did not believe." In the same chapter, verse 14, we see that our Lord upbraided them for their, quote, "lack of faith and hardness of heart." We no doubt have read the interchange between Thomas and the other apostles, and Thomas and Christ. We read in St. John's Gospel, chapter 20, "Now Thomas, one of the 12, who is called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, 'We have seen the Lord.' But he said to them, 'Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the place of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I shall not believe.' And after 8 days again his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Jesus cometh, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, 'Peace be to you.' Then he said to Thomas, 'Put in thy finger hither, and see my hands, and bring hither thy hand, and put it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing.' Thomas answered and said to him, My Lord and my God. Jesus saith to him, Because thou hast seen me, Thomas, thou hast believed. Blessed are they who have not seen and have believed. But even in his correction of Thomas, or before his convincing of the others, the good Lord's predominant wish for them is peace. Peace of soul. Peace. Not of this world. Peace that is eternal. Pax vobiscum. Peace be with you. But before we can hope to have that peace of Christ, we must have faith. Believe, not because we feel, or because of the knowledge that we have, or because such and such is this way or that, but simply because he said so. In the 8th chapter of St. Matthew, we read of the centurion coming to our Lord. His servant is sick. Our Lord hears the centurion and says that he is willing to go with him. But the centurion says, Say the word only, and my servant will be healed. And in the gospel we read that Jesus marveled and said to those who had followed him, Amen, I say to you, I have not found so great a faith in Israel. Mother Mary St. Paul wrote this about faith. If I allow my faith in the divinity of Christ, in his incarnation, in his resurrection, to be corrupted by those who are in these days so ready to corrupt it, the life of grace, the life of holiness, peace of soul, cannot be mine. How so? We asked. Because if I do not believe these doctrines to be the truth that they are, my faith is vain. My spiritual life is a myth. My striving after holiness is futile. I am attempting to build a house on sand. Take first faith in the divinity. If I do not believe that Christ is divine, that is, that he is the only begotten Son of God, the very same nature as the Father, as we read in the last gospel, God of God, light of light, true God of true God. Actually, that would be the creed. I can have no spiritual life because Christ, who died to win me the right to it, not being divine, could not offer an infinite sacrifice to his Father for sin. His sacrifice, therefore, would be inadequate, and the debt would remain unpaid. There would be no pardon for the sinner, no grace, no spiritual life, no peace of soul. I make all these things impossible for me by allowing my faith in the divinity to be corrupted and the only channel through which grace can flow to be blocked. Faith in the incarnation, if I allow my faith to be corrupted in this great truth, how will that affect my spiritual life? The whole of the spiritual life turns on the incarnation. It was because God took our nature and became man that he can make us partakers of his divine nature by the life of grace which makes us sons. By the incarnation, God the Son made himself also our quote-unquote elder brother. And to his firstborn son, God gave the life, his own life, which he was to pass on to his brethren, that they might be his adopted children sharing his life. If it were not God, who then took our human nature, there was no divine life passed on, no supernatural life, no grace, and no peace. So it is impossible to live a life of holiness if we allow our faith in the great mystery of the incarnation to be corrupted. Faith in the resurrection? If there were no resurrection, our faith would have been vain. But how can a want of belief in the resurrection affect the spiritual life? Why is it so essential to keep faith in this great doctrine incorruptible? Again, we must say that without the resurrection of the head, the life of the mystical body could not have been sustained. There would have been no Blessed Sacrament to sustain it. It would have languished for want of food. We read in Scripture, "He that eateth me, he shall live by me." To as many as receive me, first by faith, which gave them life, then by the Blessed Sacrament, which sustained that life, he gave them power to be made sons of God, as we read in the first chapter of St. John, chapter 12, verse 12. How do we become children of God? By faith. You are all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. St. Paul's letter to the Galatians, chapter 3, verse 26. If we allow our faith to be corrupted, we cease to be his children. We spoil his plan of redemption. We cut ourselves off from the spiritual life. Grace departs, and a life of holiness is impossible to us. A life of holiness means that we are trying to live up to our high calling of sons of God. And for this, faith is an absolute necessity. No wonder St. Peter speaks in his first letter, chapter 1, verse 7, of the trials of our faith as being something that is beyond all price, more precious than gold, he writes, which is to be tried by the fire to free it from all corruption. In considering these points, my dear friends in Christ, it is my prayer for you at the altar that the resurrected Christ rise in you in your hearts this Easter season and establish and perfect your faith in him so that you might have his peace in you and through you share that peace and that faith with others. God bless you all.